Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. From this evening's epistle reading from 1 Timothy, St. Paul writes, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. Praise and thanks to Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns eternally, who sits at the right hand of God and lives to pour out good gifts, both temporal and eternal, upon all of the earth, and especially unto us, his people, for which we are more than thankful. This is a beloved holiday in our nation. I have no doubt that you're looking for a few days of respite from your regular activities, perhaps some phone calls or sitting around the table with loved ones, enjoying the fruits of the labor of your hands with a beautiful meal. We are indeed blessed in our Lord and Jesus, Savior Jesus Christ. It is good to have rest. And as we consider that, we're probably all very happy also that the elections are over. We have had a long and tumultuous period of time when there has been much rancor and division among the nation on the television and even in families and in workplaces all over the place. And it's been interesting because the elections, in my opinion, have been a real Rorschach test. You know, one of those inkblot things where you can sort of see almost anything that you want in it. And it's amazing how good we are at seeing evil in other people. And it's interesting to see how the sides lined up. I would never vote for him, he, blah, 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 blah. And on the other hand, I would never vote for her because she, blah, 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 blah. And it's interesting now that the elections are over that one of the things that the elected president was most criticized for was that he would not say that he accepted the results of the election, and yet when the election was over and he won, it was his opponents who have a hard time accepting the results of the election. As we are in a divided time and a divided nation, I'm going to say the same words that many of our politicians and even church leaders say. We may be strongly divided, but what unites us is more than what divides us. Unfortunately, from the soliloquy I just gave, I think it's true. But what we have in common with each other is not much virtue, but often mudslinging and evil, an evil eye that can't see anything but evil, and sometimes can't even see past our own little eyes, seeing our own evil in other people. But Thanksgiving then comes at a of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was first instituted in America, no, not during the days of the Pilgrims, that's a myth, but during the days of Abraham Lincoln, when our nation was strongly divided between North and South and was at war, when Abraham Lincoln thought it would be good in this time where it seemed like everything was losing and nothing was going right and the nation was most divided. Let us, he said, as a nation, unite our hearts in thanksgiving to the God who has blessed us so well. And if that God would have mercy on us, we will be united. And that's the thanks that we have to give to God this evening. As I've just read to you from St. Paul, that our hearts are united in Jesus Christ. We, among all sinners, acknowledge our sin and the goodness of Jesus in forgiving us our sins. And with the forgiveness of sins comes thanksgiving and hope that all things are in the hands of the one who is at the right hand of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. And he does not have ill in mind for us, but only good things and blessings in Jesus Christ, which means more than we could ever deserve. And in fact, even when we deserve the opposite, God is still good. And God is still giving us good gifts in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why St. Paul wants Timothy to be united with him, and all pastors and therefore all congregations to be united in bringing prayers before God, as we are going to do this evening, and indeed as we do in our families every day of the week. St. Paul writes that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be given for all men, for kings, and for all in authority. And as we put ourselves back and we left a couple of Paul, this is an amazing thing for Paul to say. It fills us with wonder that we and they are to pray for all men, including kings and all who are in authority. And in St. Paul's day, that authority was not very kind to Christians. That authority was officially against Christianity as an illegal religion and a troubler of the kingdom. And it was a time when persecution was beginning in the church and was to last for about the first 300 years of the church's history. And so St. Paul is exhorting the church to pray for one of its biggest threats upon the earth, the government. And why? Well, there's a lot of good reasons, which illustrates why the mind of Christ that we have, the revelation, and the information that we have from Christ is so important and puts us out of step with reason and puts us in the area of faith. What do we believe about the government? Well, theologically, we believe that all authority is placed there by God. Jesus said to Pilate at his trial, "Pilate, you could have no authority over me unless it were given from above." And so we give thanks for our governments, whether they seem good or evil, because they are established by God. But there's also a personal faith reason why St. Paul is able to be so generous and to say, let's pray for those people at enmity to God. Let's pray for those enemies of God. Why? Because he had a proper faith. He had a proper understanding of the nature of the gospel, not only from the Word of God, but also, as I hope we can all say, from our personal experience. What does that mean? Well, St. Paul, even in the context of this letter, says this in the first chapter. St. Paul says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I, St. Paul, am the chief." Why can Paul pray with such love to this alien government who's holding a sword over his head and threatening him? Why? Because St. Paul knows he's of the same ilk. He is also a sinner. And sinners by nature are at enmity with God, which means we by our fallen nature hate God. We hate him and would silence him if we could, because we have such a good opinion of ourselves, and he dares to tell us the truth that we are sinners and fallen. St. Paul was so stubborn in that opinion that he persecuted the church and put Christians to death and rounded them up so that the government could put them to death. But the abundant love of God came to him. It was as if he was born out of season. It was as if it was too late for him. And indeed, in some ways, it was too late for St. Paul, and he knew it when Jesus appeared to him on that road to Damascus. I'm cooked turkey, goose, I've had it. But Jesus poured out his abundant mercy on Saul, and 3 days later, he was baptized into the kingdom of God. You see, that's the Christian was at enmity with God. I was a hater of God. I was an enemy of God. And while I was still in my sins, while I was still railing against God, he loved me. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And while I was yet in my sin, Jesus died for me. And so the faith and the intercession of St. Paul, and the one that he exhorts us as the church to offer up for all men, is from this perspective, that all things are ordered by God, the government, the structure of our society, all things are ordered by God, and therefore they are good in and of themselves, even if it is peopled by sinners like us. But also then the perception that I, as an enemy of God, was still beloved by God, was extraordinarily graced by God, that he poured out his son's blood on the cross for my sins, and in his blood my sins are all washed away. This is the experience of God that every Christian knows. I ought to be heading to hell, but he grabbed my collar and grabbed me up and lifted me out of the mud and is bringing me to heaven. This is the joy and the reason for the thanksgiving that Christians say these days. And let's say something about the nature of our thanksgivings. There aren't many that are going to be gathering in our nation at churches, I don't think, around Thanksgiving. It's such a secular holiday. But we are graced by God to know why we give thanks. To know that the fruits that are upon our tables and the beautiful people that are gathered around those tables are not the result of our goodness and our hard work and all of our good are a gift. Wonderful. Getting more than we deserved. Finding in these things the love of God for us, which is beyond knowing and beyond telling. But more than that, that when we give thanks to God as we gather around those tables, the only thing that limits our thanksgiving is the smallness of our faith. Because if we have faith in Christ, who is at the right hand of God, that's where your little thanksgivings here in church and there around the family table, that's where they go, all the way to the top of heaven, into the ears of God. For you know God and God knows you, and you have been reconciled to him in Jesus Christ. And your little thanksgivings, of all of them that are given throughout this nation on this day of Thanksgiving, are the missiles of prayer that are launched into the clouds and go up into the highest heavens and are received in the ears of God our Father. And in that thanksgiving is his love. And his love is infinite. It's for those in your family that you get along with, and it's for those in your family that you don't so well get along with. It's for those who are of your political persuasion, and those that are opposite, extreme opposite to your political persuasion. It is thanksgiving that we are united with all of them in the blood of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And we pray that they would all join us upon our knees, giving thanks to the giver of every good gift through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which cleanses us from all iniquity and gives our hearts eternal thanks and praise to God. Amen. And may the peace that gives us that surpasses all understanding then keep our hearts and our minds in true faith in Christ and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.